listening to Fox Sports Radio. This is Straight Outta Vegas. With the voice of Vegas, your host, RJ Bell. The pregame show America has always wanted. I doubt the future. I doubt the future. From the Vegas Strip, here's RJ Bell.
You heard it. I'm RJ live on a Tuesday. I call it the day after the day after. Monday Night Football recap coming up, 6 o'clock Eastern, 3 o'clock here in Vegas. And we're joined every Tuesday by one of the pros who know, Brad Powers, with all the college knowledge. Fezzik on a study day, but we got his insights. Sports bettors listen for the money. Sports fans listen to no more than their buddies. My personal promise, we will deliver the Vegas truth to you. Now, as a Steelers fan, you know, when you have zero wins, then you win a game, it's a good thing. The question is, what does it say about the future? And Jonas Knox in LA.
And that's right, RJ. We start with Monday Night Football here on Straight Outta Vegas, and we go back to Pittsburgh, the scene of the crime, a 27-3 win for the Pittsburgh Steelers, their first win of the season. Cincinnati now 0-4 on the year.
The scene of the crime?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Andy Dalton had a rough night.
Yeah, if you look at it, the Steelers' defense, and I think something that's under-discussed about the Steelers' defense is how pedigreed they are. Now, so what's pedigree in the NFL? It's going to be a draft choice pretty much because all things equal, the league spend millions and millions of dollars of resources trying to figure out who to draft. So if they draft someone in the first round, might be a boom, it might be a bust. But you know that it was thought out. It's almost like the betting market. You just accept the fact 20 years ago the line was a team favored by a touchdown. They were better than that team. Doesn't matter if they won or lost the game. All things equal, built into the market. Built into pedigree is going to be where you were drafted. Doesn't mean Tom Brady isn't great. He just wasn't pedigreed coming out of college. And the Steelers, just draft after draft of first and second round, more first choices. And then if you look at it, the cornerback from Cleveland, first round, he was like a top 10 pick,
yep.
Hayden, and he's now on the team. And then you look at the Dolphins, Fitzpatrick, all of a sudden now you take the Steelers first round choices, those two first round choices, this is a first round type of defense. It hasn't performed like that overall. It's been more potential for Pittsburgh's D. Yesterday, I saw against a limited team, no doubt, the Bengals, Pittsburgh lived up in this one game to the pedigree on defense.
They certainly did, and especially getting after Andy Dalton. 8 sacks last night for the Steelers. And there's a reason, Jonas, that Andy Dalton had a bad night. He had a guy in his face almost every snap.
Yeah, the offensive line had a rough one.
Yeah, and I don't know if you guys are aware of this, but you can't throw touchdowns from your back.
No.
I mean, that's what I've learned.
Yeah.
Now, let's quantify and move on from the defense. The Pro Football Focus 2006, their data started, the best defensive pressure performance, so pressure on the quarterback in history. So 13 years or so. The best. So some of that Bengals, but listen, Steelers have played a lot of bad defensive or offensive lines over the years, like any team. Good performance there. Now, Steelers on Monday night. I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. You might have heard this one floating around. I dug a little deeper on this. Steelers do exceptionally well in primetime games. Bengals the opposite. What is that about? I think it's meaningful. I think there are certain teams that get motivated by the bright lights. Usually teams, quite frankly, that have ebbing and flowing motivation, right? If you're always motivated, how are you getting more motivated for Monday? Pittsburgh, unfortunately, as a fan, hasn't always been motivated, even back to Bill Cowher. But on the primetime games, whew, and Monday Night Football, even more, 17 straight wins, not seven, 17 on Monday Night Football as a home team. Home on Monday night, that goes back to 1992.
Wow.
Yeah. What do you think about that, Jonas?
So what you're saying is they're the anti-Kirk Cousins on Monday night.
Or the anti-Andy Dalton.
Okay, good. Yes. Yeah, fair enough.
And in a weird way, we're going to look back at the end of the year, and we're going to say, which line was the biggest opportunity that we just said, nah, you keep it. The line closed at 3.5 in this game. Is that what you saw, Brad?
Yep.
So a field goal, home field advantage in the NFL. So that means Pittsburgh in a must-win spot against the Bengals, laying a half a point more than if they were even teams. And oh, by the way, the Bengals stink in primetime and the Steelers dominate. And especially at home on Monday night, they haven't lost since George H.W. Bush was president. Think about that a second.
Wow.
So how did we miss it? First off, let's be clear. The pros were on the Bengals.
Yes.
The line move was towards Pittsburgh. It was sharp money on the Bengals. So let's not feel too bad. But I blame Jonas. I'm critical of Jonas. Because he doesn't let the sharp stuff get in his head. It doesn't distract him. He's a plain talker. I mean, what would Haystack Hank, a friend of ours, I mean, he's not here today, but you know Haystack pretty well, Brad. Haystack's a simple man.
Yeah.
What would he have said about the game?
Steelers. Are you kidding me? Steelers, Bengals, laying about a field goal at home?
Yeah.
Steelers roll.
So really, the two people close, I mean, one of the persons closest to Haystack, I think, is Jonas.
Yeah.
Jonas, what happened?
I think people looked at Mason Rudolph and they said,
no, I'm not, I don't want to hear this. Mistakes were made. I want to hear from you why the mistake was made.
Why the line was where it was at.
No, I'm saying, why didn't you come in and say, I got a best bet, guys, Pittsburgh. This is too easy.
Because I'm having an awful year when it comes to gambling.
That's pretty much every year, right?
Yeah, no, but this year's worse than most.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, and that's made you lose all confidence.
Yeah, I'm leaking confidence every single week. I've got no hope.
I've been noticing. I just haven't wanted to say anything. Now, let's go a little deeper into what was different in what Pittsburgh did. A lot of pre-snap motion, before the snap motion, in a way, quite frankly, that you haven't seen from Pittsburgh. And they ran some jet sweeps, which are more the playmaker gets some momentum going, snap the ball, quick handoff, gets around the end. Something that they used to do in the veer, the run and shoot did. Very ingenuitive. Here's my question. When Pittsburgh was like one of the four best teams, and there has been, you know, really, I would make the following case. Other than the Patriots, if you would have looked at the Steelers' power ranking from the Vegas perspective, so purely objective, Pittsburgh's been in the top, let's say, five more in the last 10 years than anyone but the Patriots.
Agree.
It's year in and year out, week in and week out, fifth best, third best, second best. They haven't made a Super Bowl since 2010, so they've underperformed. But now, since Big Ben went down, I so respect that Pittsburgh doesn't seem to in any way be just packing it in. They're working harder, it seems, to be a 500 team. And when they were one or two players from a Super Bowl, they just sat back.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm not saying it's laziness because I don't think it's anything like that, but I'm so heartened by the fact, as a fan, Big Ben goes down. You've been competing for Super Bowls literally since 2004. Remember, Big Ben's second year, they went 15-1 during the regular season. Remember that, Brad?
Yeah, wasn't it his rookie year?
No. It was his second year, if I'm not mistaken.
Or
maybe what it was, no. I think his rookie year, they did well. But, again, something? I'm not exactly sure about that. You can look that up. I know Tommy Maddox was the quarterback before, and Big Ben came in the second game. So maybe it was a 15-1. But either way, from that point on, and we'll get that data. And I do remember them losing to the Patriots at home. That's what I very much remember. But they've been competing for Super Bowls from then on. There's no season they entered the season not amongst the top six or seven Super Bowl favorites. None. Zero since then. You would think that your guy goes down, and that might be the one time you just take a breath and say, guys, let's recoup. You know, we'll play as hard as we can. No, they're trading with Seattle for backup tight ends. What year was it?
04, rookie year for Roethlisberger. 15-1.
The Steelers lost. Went, and he started the or he came in the second game.
Yep, came
okay.
in.
Tommy Maddox.
Yeah.
But no, Pittsburgh is doing everything it seems to. Now they come out with some new offense, seemingly. In 1 week, they come up with a new offense. Why didn't we see any of that against the Patriots one game? It's weird, right? They were like happy to be amongst the six best teams. Roll the dice, man. I'd rather have one Super Bowl and miss a few playoffs, right?
Yeah.
In the year since 2010 or since 2008, effectively, to win a Super Bowl. All right. Number two, Rudolph's performance. Unequivocally great for a game, meaning it's not sustainable. But let's not change how great it was. His QBR, right? And remember, QBR is driven by percentages, whereas if you have a 90, it means you're better than 90% of the quarterbacks. You have a 10, you're better than 10%. Rudolph's in the game just last night, his QBR was 84. All right, so you have a guy in his second start that's better than 84% of other quarterbacks, including Tom Brady, Aaron Rodgers, et cetera. I wonder how we should grade that. But apparently, Colin, I mean, when I say apparently, it's almost, I can't believe it. This is like maybe the strongest Colin Cowherd is crazy I've ever heard in my life. And he's talking about how bad it was. Did you hear this?
I did hear this.
What did you think?
I thought he was reaching so bad. And on top of that, just flat out wrong.
Oh, did you hear Jonas laughing? He's like, finally someone's saying what I've been saying behind the scenes. Him and his. You know something? I agree, but I think it, you know, in business, there's a concept. You incentivize what you want to encourage. So imagine you're a sales company and you say, for every sale, you get $1,000. Well, what are the people going to be motivated to do? Big sales or sales?
Sales.
Right? If you say you get a percentage of sales, what happens then? Doesn't matter about the individual transactions.
You want the big sale.
Yeah. Setting up your compensation structure dictates how people act because everyone is self-interested. Some more than others, like Fezzik at the top of that mountain. But the fact of the matter is everyone's self-interested. In talk radio, if you say, yep, see that number, that 84 that you can get anywhere, the QBR? Yeah, that's about right. He played really well. What, how many people are retweeting that? So again, I didn't call him, to be honest, and knowing him is more sincere than most talk radio guys I know, that I genuinely don't think that I ever have seen him say something he doesn't believe. I just think that this industry nudges you towards the less obvious conclusion. And let's be candid, in life, the obvious conclusion is right more often, right? I'm no scientist, but there's a concept, I think it's called Occam's razor. I'll get the exact pronunciation. And it means that in any scenario, the simplest solution is probably right. So if you say, you know, did this happen historically or did aliens come down and build the pyramids and leave? It's possible that aliens came down, but the simplest conclusion isn't that. And thus the simplest conclusion is more likely, history has shown us. Rudolph playing really well in his QBR being 84 is the simplest conclusion. And I think talk radio tends against it. Now, what I think Colin was right about 100% is this isn't sustainable if Pittsburgh plays the same way. So what we'll do when we come back is break down exactly what's not sustainable and what's some possibilities that the Steelers have, because I think there's one prominent one to do this a different way and Rudolph keep performing well. Because don't forget, Pittsburgh traded their number one pick this season. if there's any sign that Pittsburgh's optimistic, it's that they can be decent this year. Last night, we saw at least decent. What happens next?
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Out of Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
I'm RJ Bell. We are Straight Out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. Coming up here in just a couple of moments, we will find out if one quarterback performance means a bright future ahead.
Jonas is so happy that Brad did an overhand right to Colin Cowherd. He's like, finally, people are figuring this out. Thanks for joining us. Each weekday, you can listen to us on 200 FSR stations, foxsportsradio.com, the iHeartRadio app, Sirius, and on demand podcast. Just search for RJ Bell. Right now in Las Vegas on the Strip, 77 degrees, the coolest day since the heat came. And the neon is flowing.
RJ, we talked about Monday Night Football last segment, and we discussed Mason Rudolph, an impressive performance against the Cincinnati Bengals.
Some disagree.
Yeah, a lot of people, Colin Cowherd included, are very skeptical as to whether or not this is sustainable. What do you make of Mason Rudolph?
You know what's funny? Think about anyone you really know, but you don't know them like the best. Like, it's not your wife or it's not your partner, but you know them pretty well. Think about what's the one thing you'd like to hear them talk about, honestly, if they were drunk or if they had truth serum. How great would it be if there was like internet footage of Jonas at some party with a 40 just just ranting about locks for lunch at one place and not at his. And I mean, it would be something I would pay $10,000 for. I would.
Yeah, but if I'm drinking a 40, it's got to have the brown bag on it.
Again, that's all just details. Now, here's what I know about Rudolph. Unequivocally, it was a great performance yesterday. Great. 86th percentile. Yards per attempt, 8.2. So that's almost a yard better than the league average. But people were like, well, wait a minute. He's not throwing downfield. That is true. 28 attempts. How many do you think traveled 10 or more yards past the line of scrimmage? So an 11-yard curl would meet this criteria. You used to run that 2-on-2, right?
Yeah.
In the street, I'm sure. That line was the first down?
Yes.
Right? 10-yard curl. Okay. 10 yards or more, 3 of 28.
Wow.
That's not downfield. Here's the fact. You cannot perform long-term as an NFL QB without throwing the ball downfield. Name me someone that does. I mean, where this guy could win a Super Bowl.
Nah, nobody.
Now, you can't. But if you look at the situation, it's hard to blame Pittsburgh for being conservative against Seattle. So let's go back to last week. And this is an example where a good coach, a good team, will lessen the chance of winning this week to increase the chance of winning next week, or the rest of the season. Belichick is a master at that. Look at his September numbers versus his December numbers, night and day. How did Pittsburgh perhaps do that? Rudolph is someone they believe in. The fact that they traded their number one pick next year, a year that could have been the replacement of Big Ben, that's in a very good NFL or a QB draft, right?
It's going to be a really good class.
That's the plan.
Yes.
So Pittsburgh said to us, don't worry about drafting quarterback. We got our quarterback. His name's Rudolph. And to me, I believe Pittsburgh. They know quarterbacks. At least since they got Big Ben, they know quarterbacks. So some optimism is being shown. But what would be the thing that would throw the biggest monkey wrench, would get in the way of that, is like a disastrous road performance. Seattle or San Francisco is one of the tougher, and I misspoke earlier, San Francisco, when they were at San Francisco, because that's when they were way conservative in that game. So if you think about when he replaced during the Seattle game, that was in Pittsburgh, when he replaced Big Ben, that was totally unexpected. All that Pittsburgh had was the game plan they had coming in with Big Ben. And Rudolph threw it downfield, and he threw pretty well. He had an above-average QBR for that game. It was in the 50s. So by definition, above average. But then now you know he's your starter the rest of the year. You go to San Francisco. What could happen? Five interceptions, disastrous game. Maybe he doesn't recover the whole year. Why not accept the fact this is going to be a tough win anyway? They almost got it. They had the benefit of some turnovers. Let's be extra conservative and bring this guy along slowly. It's not about this season. It's about next season, the season after. Now, the next game, you go home to Cincinnati, playing Cincinnati at home. They didn't need to. Like, when you win the game so handily, how can you say you should be more aggressive? Why?
One by 24.
Every time that you are aggressive, there's a better chance that you do something that could make an easy win into something other. If I'm a bad team and I'm playing a good team, I hope they take as many chances as possible. That's the only way I'm going to win, right?
Yep.
So anyone who's saying, well, they should have, in his first start ever on the road in the NFL, should have had him winging it. I don't get it, right? Because we know quarterbacks can be damaged when they're young. And then to say, well, I know they easily won when they were 0-3, but they should have taken more risks. How dumb is that? So to me, I think the Steelers have played this smart. If they don't let him go downfield as the weeks progress, that's a sign they're not confident, but let's wait and see. And I tell you, there's cause to be confident beyond Pittsburgh's optimism generally that they're communicating. They're telegraphing it to us by their decisions. If you look at Rudolph in the preseason, now listen, the preseason is the preseason, but that's what we've got on data other than these last couple of games. In throws 10 yards or more downfield, so those longer throws, Rudolph was one of the highest rated quarterbacks in the entire NFL in preseason. And when he was in college, he was one of the higher rated long passers.
Yeah, at Oklahoma State, they're constantly throwing the ball down the field to James Washington, one of his current wide receivers.
So if the game, if Pittsburgh never lets him go downfield, I think there's cause for criticism. Right now, history tells us there's reason to be optimistic about it. But the first game on the road would have been tough. And doing it when you don't need to, why? I'm RJ Bell, straight out of Vegas. And listen, we can say it's not about this year, Jonas, but you really think about it, it could be.
Yeah, it could be, because if you look at that division, the Bengals are done. They're winless. They're not a factor. Cleveland goes Monday night. You mentioned it, a difficult place to play. Next Monday, they're at the 49ers on Monday
Underdogs
night football.
By 3.5.
Yeah, and if they lose that game, which they're projected to based on the odds, they would be 2-3. Pittsburgh hosts Baltimore, who all of a sudden doesn't look like the same team they were the first 2 weeks of the season. And if Pittsburgh wins that game, here we are, a three-way tie for first place in the AFC North, and the Steelers are right back into it.
Yeah, and listen, this is like NBA teams when they're in a new era, is it's good to make the playoffs as an eighth or seventh seed. You get the reps, you get the experience. How great would it be if Rudolph got to start a playoff game if you have long-term belief in him? So Pittsburgh's fight. I really respect. It's funny. This is the first year I think Pittsburgh doesn't have a real chance at the Super Bowl. I like this team more than I've liked any team in the last 5 years, because they're doing these things to say, let's grind and work to get that last inch. I just wish they would have done it when they were near the Super Bowl. I don't understand it. All right, last couple things. You mentioned the Bengals. A.J. Green. Fezzik's been always a believer in him. Maybe he's right. Back to PFF here. The first 8 games of last year, A.J. Green played. Andy Dalton, if you actually look at his results during that time, he was the 8th ranked quarterback in the entire league. So this wasn't 5 years ago. This wasn't, you know, back when they had multiple, you know, because they used to have some real playmakers. It was last year. It was less than a year ago, those 8 games, and he was the 8th best quarterback by PFF. Doesn't mean that's exactly a right number, but it's a good estimate. And then after A.J. Green was out, it was horrendous. So I do think him as a playmaker is very valuable. And I think sometimes we lose sight of that. Also with the Steelers, whatever optimism you might have, look at the strength of schedule. The teams that they have lost to, Patriots, Seahawks, 49ers, 10-1 straight up on the season. So the opposite of some of these teams like Dallas had such an easy start. And let's be candid, they could have won that Seattle game. It's, you know, 40% chance.
Yep.
Could have won that San Francisco game.
Yep.
If they were 3-1, would they be a better team? Not really. But it goes to show you how much luck and coin flips affect things in the NFL. I am enjoying watching this. And I want to see what Tomlin can do, because historically he does very well when the team has a below 500 record. And now that you're 1-1 since, you know, that happened, or let's think about it. They were 0-1. I guess they're 1-2 in that spot. But I think this is when Tomlin does his best work, because it's motivational oftentimes. Any closing thoughts on Monday Night Football?
I think that the point you just made about Tomlin, and I've been thinking about this, he's even more motivated now. It would be a feather in his cap to show everybody, hey, I still got us to the playoffs without Ben Roethlisberger. This whole, the quarterback's more important than the coach. What would happen if Brady left Belichick? I think Tomlin's super motivated to get this team to the postseason without Big Ben.
Yeah, I think the whole team is, which I love. And I also think it's kind of funny to think that, and we talked about the Browns, Freddie Kitchens. Is he the right person right now for that job? Everyone can question his X's and O's, but he looked pretty good last week, it seems. He didn't look so good before that. But the question is, do you need discipline right now? Or do you need to let the players have their fun and then understand the next coach probably is the discipline guy? My sense is you kind of want the discipline when they're younger.
Yeah.
And you can instill, because once they're 26, 27, 28, and they haven't had it, it's kind of tough, right? They signed the second contract. I don't think Baker's going to get more humble.
He could, right?
But I do think there's certain coaches that fit certain roles. And oftentimes a disciplinarian early, and then a guy then that comes in later that is a little looser, but he can be, you know? I don't know. I just know Tomlin, if I were had a franchise that had been a losing franchise, Tomlin would be one of my first, you know, Belichick, couple others, and Tomlin. Winning franchise, great quarterback. He's the last guy, or not the last guy. He's one of the last guys I'd want. Just because history shows Pittsburgh has underperformed with the talent they have. Just unequivocally true. And that goes back literally to 2005. The year after the Super Bowl, they literally, when they beat in Super Bowl 40, they beat in a very well-officiated game, Seattle. They didn't make the playoffs the next year. Look at that team. Look at the Hall of Famers on that team that didn't make the playoffs. And if you go through all those years since, man, they've never been horrible, but they haven't reached the heights they should. Now we'll see if Tomlin can do it in this spot. In just 1 minute, speaking of great coaches, Dabo Sweeney, Saban, their odds of winning it as a group, those two have decreased significantly since the season. We'll explain why.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific.
Straight Outta Vegas here on Fox Sports Radio. Coming up 12 minutes from now here on FSR, we will take a look ahead to the first of two wild card games in the Major League Baseball playoffs. I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. He's the voice of Vegas, RJ Bell.
You know, that great comment, John Ross Ewing Jr. So JR came both from Jr. and John Ross. And it reminds me of the Gormans that had this slot before us, and they had a couple hours. For about a year, I do a hit every week. We did about 5 minutes on Dallas. So I'm thinking, you know, I love this, but I'm not sure if it's a wide audience for like a 40-year-old TV show doing like trivia about, you know, how many acres with South Fork, 100,000, by the way, in case you were wondering. I think this Alabama-Clemson is so interesting, because entering the year, it was like, okay, these are the two best, and it's not even close. In fact, on Twitter, I don't usually knock people out on Twitter unless they have a check mark or they have a lot of followers, because it's like, what's the point, right? Why give them? I love interesting feedback. I read all that. But if someone's being an idiot, I just kind of let them be an idiot. But there was a guy who's a bookmaker here in town, and he was talking about Ohio State won the September national championship. Now, maybe you should try to score in the championship or in the playoffs. It's like, well, wait a minute, Brad. Let me think. Now, I'm not a historian, But there's three teams, if I'm correct, that's won a college football playoff.
Yes.
Clemson, yep. Alabama, and the Ohio State University, correct?
Yeah, they won the first one.
Not USC, not anyone else. So it's like, wait a minute. Now, the funny thing is, what has kept Ohio State out of the playoffs the last 2 years?
Lackadaisical efforts on the road when they're supposed to win and they don't.
Yeah, they lose to a team that's a shocker.
Yep.
So now, a team that's, you know, one of three that's won it and is doing what they didn't do in the past somehow is getting criticism? Absurd. But what we know is that Alabama and Clemson are the two favorites, but not as much as they were. And let's look at it as one of them winning, either Alabama or Clemson, versus the field. What were the odds entering the year? What's the odds now? Just give us percentages.
Yeah, percentages, RJ, Alabama and Clemson, start of the season, had about a 65%, those two combined, to win the championship. Now it's moving closer to 50%, RJ.
So it was 65?
Yeah, it was moving closer to 2-1 as a favorite. Yeah. Alabama or Clemson, yeah, when they win the title.
Okay, that's a good point. Yeah, I was thinking 2-1. But then, wow. So every three times they thought initially that there was a national champion, if we had a simulation or something, two times it would be either Clemson or Alabama.
Yep.
Once somebody else.
Yep.
Now it's moving towards 50%.
It is.
Now, how much of this has to do with, Alabama's not as good as we thought? So let's start there. Alabama's power ranking, your Vegas numbers, Brad Powers, the ones I trust, honestly, versus where they are now. What's Alabama done?
Alabama's flat, RJ.
Flat?
Yep.
Okay. Clemson, I bet they're down big.
Nah, they're down slightly. Down especially on offense.
Down slightly.
Yes.
So wait a minute. They were what? Do I remember right? Like 16-1? If North Carolina would have won and it went down to a 2-point conversion.
Yes.
It was like, what was it? 16-1 or something?
16-1.
Okay. And they literally were 50-50 to lose the game.
Yeah.
If they had lost the game, Clemson, what do you think the odds would have been of them making the playoffs?
You know what?
Because what I've heard is they can't lose a game. They're saying the competition is so weak. Because really, what is projected today and looking in the past, what are the hardest games for Clemson based on the Vegas spread?
The hardest game they've already played. It was a 17-point favorite role against Texas A&M in week 2.
The hardest game, the closest game, they're 17-point favorites.
Yes.
Okay. And they were 28-point favorites against North Carolina.
Yep.
How do they lose a game and make the playoffs?
They can't do it, RJ.
So they literally, this team that you say is, maybe a smidge less than I thought, that team was one play away from missing the playoffs. And it's not even October. It wouldn't have been October yet.
Wow. You put it in that perspective, it should be a bigger downgrade on Clemson.
Well, that's the debate, right? Because really, Jonas, this is a debate we've been having in Vegas amongst the sharps is, if you look at it game by game, Clemson has, and let's just use the spread, that's the only way to do it, how's their ATS record?
They're 3-2 against the spread.
So they've exceeded, by that definition, they've exceeded expectations.
Yep.
But when they're favored by 38 and they win by 45, what does it really tell you? As opposed to if they won by 28, right? Yep. But when you almost lose a game, it feels like it tells you something.
Especially as a 4-touchdown favorite.
Yeah. And Trevor Lawrence has underperformed. So I think we might disagree about the Clemson downgrade, but we're talking a point or two. They're generally in the ballpark.
Yep.
So here's what we're going to do. When we come back, we've talked about Alabama and Clemson combined. One's flat, which is good when you're one of the best. The other one's down some, Clemson. But why have their odds dropped combined to win the title so much? It's about the other teams that could win it. We're going to run down those teams.
That's coming up next. He's RJ Bell. I'm Jonas Knox. This is the pregame show you always wanted right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I'm RJ Bell. We are straight out of Vegas.
And I'm Jonas Knox, voice of you, the fan. So, RJ, we were talking about Alabama, Clemson versus the field. The odds have gotten closer as the season moves on. Some of that may be a downgrade on Clemson, but also some of it might be the other teams that have narrowed the gap there in college football.
Yeah, and what we're going to do, because we are going to talk some baseball at the very end of the segment here, because the playoffs do start. We're going to do like a sentence on these contenders And tomorrow, full segment breaking it down. So, Brad, when I look at it as a casual college football fan, I was the champion of our podcast last year, if I recall. It happens. LSU, I look at the OC or the it feels like the scheme is much more modern. What are you seeing with LSU?
Absolutely, that's the case with LSU. Big upgrade for them on the offense side of the ball. LSU is leading the country in scoring points per game, a category they hadn't even been in the top 20 in a decade. Good upgrade for LSU.
Now, we got Ken Thompson with us. He's going to give a best bet. He's a college football expert. He's not succinct. So I'm going to make Ken's point that he made in the break. What about strength of schedule? They did play Texas, but otherwise not good at all.
Yeah, it hasn't been good at all, but they did put 45 points on the road at Texas.
That's impressive. I mean, let's be candid. If you look at the contenders, Texas is probably one of the toughest games any contender has played.
Absolutely.
Kind of hard to get them on the strength of schedule. OU, what's going on?
Upgrade for Oklahoma. Defense has outperformed expectations, but here's the bigger shocker. Jalen Hurts, the quarterback, through four games, has more touchdowns and more yards than Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray did through their first four games the last 2 years. Those two guys won the Heisman. Hurts has better numbers right now.
Yeah, actually, SportsCenter tweeted it out, and I did a RT, but I added the information about the ATS record. It is interesting, because if you look at it, you mentioned it, yards, touchdowns, all better this year than the two prior Heisman winners. But if you look at the ATS record, they were 4-0 first four games last 3 years, 3-1 against the spread in 17, 1-3 in 18, 3-1 this year. So they're not only winning and scoring, they're covering Oklahoma. And that DC young guy used to an open offense on the other side, or the other unit, I guess, of Oklahoma. And I think that's very meaningful. Georgia, they underperformed against Notre Dame, but no real cause for concern. You agree?
Nah, Georgia's about flat.
And then the Ohio State University.
One of the biggest upgrades of any team in the entire country. The biggest out of any of the contenders by far. The Buckeyes have
got some stats we'll talk about tomorrow. They are not running it up. People might think, look at those scores. They're not running it up, and we'll prove it tomorrow.
It is a Thompson Tuesday here on Straight Out of Vegas, and here for a best bet, it is Ken Thompson.
It's like a Molotov cocktail kind of thing with Ken. Best bet, baby.
Hey, Sonny Dykes is your guy, man. I'm telling you, this team is for real, and people have not caught up. To me, the lines makers have not caught up with this team. They play Tulsa. You can lay 12.5. They're at home. How about this? 25 sacks. They've only given up 4. Tulsa only has 3 sacks. They've given up 16. I think right there in the trenches, it's going to tell the difference. I think SMU wins this game by 30 points over Tulsa.
And the line?
The line is 12.5. SMU at home, favored 12.5.
I'm always skeptical when a team finally, like we do the SOV minute, Straight Out of Vegas minute. And one of my lines was, I had fun with it. I go, is there life after death? The death penalty, that is, right? And we're talking about it now. It doesn't feel like the week to jump on. What do you think of the matchup?
I'm certainly with KT on that one. I think SMU's the only way to go here. How can you argue?
The 5-0 team. 5-0. I'm skeptical. We'll get into this.
All right. How about the early line move from Brad Powers?
So I think we have a free roll here. What's the definition of a free roll? No downside in this one.
I can't wait to hear this.
Okay. Well, here's Stanford. We're going to take Stanford plus 15 against Washington. Right now, there's a quarterback question mark for Stanford. KJ Costello is their starting quarterback. To me, this line says he's not going to play. It's already built in the line that he's not going to play. But just today, head coach David Shaw says, KJ Costello, questionable. I think the only way this line does move is in Stanford's direction, Stanford plus 15 against Washington.
But hold on a second. Are you the only one that heard that press conference? The market knows that he said it. How's the market reacting?
Well, it was just like 2 hours ago was the Tuesday press conference.
And how long do you think it takes the syndicate to act upon information? I don't know, 30 seconds?
That's true.
So to me, I think if you're assessing his chance of playing differently than others, that's fine. But if something's public, that's a great lesson, guys. If something is public and it's not being accounted for in the line, you got to be careful because there's not a lot of dumb people moving lines. Hey, last thing, it's just the start of it, World Series. You can bet the playoffs, obviously, the games. We'll talk about the big games. But what about the World Series futures? Here's what I know. Like no other sport, underdogs end up winning the World Series. The heavy math guys, and remember, they started the sabermetric movement in sports with baseball. They are the most advanced with baseball, and they have studied left and right thousands of hours. they can't find correlations to the regular season. Meaning wins, does it lead to winning in the postseason? Does batting average, whatever. They can't find anything, which means it's a crapshoot. Well, what do you do if it's a crapshoot? You take the long shots. So if you're thinking of betting a baseball favorite to win it, you're probably bucking history.
The Odd Couple is next on many of these Fox Sports Radio affiliates. We are straight out of Vegas. Back tomorrow, 6 p.m. Eastern time, 3 o'clock Pacific, right here on Fox Sports Radio.
Straight out of Vegas!